GOB69, Swift Justice. Six swifts sped past my office window, distracting me from my keyboard slavery. The screen's hypnotic grasp eluded, I nipped downstairs for some fresh air and fresh thinking. Admiring my own handiwork in my garden, I surveyed our tiny patch of life in the urban sprawl, glorifying in the colourful blooms and buzzing of busy pollinators. Movement under the feeders caught my eye, and I slowly turned, expecting to see a mouse. But no, it was a fledgling sparrow, which was trying to drag itself under a leaf. Looking more closely, my spirits fell as I realized that this trembling feather ball was bloody. Closer inspection led to its dispatch, when it revealed its trailing entrails. Clearly another neighborhood cat had overcome my deterrence. Regular readers and regular listeners to this podcast will know how much this angers me. But anger's not enough. Action is called for. The cat problem is a symptom of an out-of-kilter underlying social norm, which I believe it's high time we did something about. Our relationship with animals is the problem. Law and socially acceptable behaviour lie embedded in the mire of our feudal history. In truth, the fate of wild animals is not about irresponsible cat owners, callous farmers, or greedy landowners, but about our collective and entire way of thinking, which needs to be brought up to date and to reflect our modern social relationships. It's no good me banging on about irresponsible cat owners. It's not about campaigning for organic food production, nor about trying to shame estate owners who allow hen harriers to be extirpated to protect their grouse shoots. It's about changing law based on land ownership and about responsibility being based on law forged together within a logical framework rather than grown piecemeal. We need to legislate in favour of wildlife by changing the basis of ownership. Currently, it's all about land. The aristocracy made up laws to suit their privileged position, so they stopped the peasantry from ruining their sport by tying the ownership of wild things to the land they inhabit. Critters running about on feudal holdings were declared the property of the landowner. Poaching peasants were deterred by draconian penalties. It went further so that certain animals were declared property even when they roamed free in the wildwood. They could only be hunted by the gentry, or like swans, eaten by kings. If the hunt tore up the peasants' holdings and their horses trampled all in pursuit of a wild boar or a hart, that was just tough. But if the peasant's dog chewed into the landlord's pheasants, the peasant could be thrown off the land or into a dungeon. So we have inherited this ridiculous notion that wild things belong to someone who occupies their homeland, and that only certain creatures' behaviour is the responsibility of the owners. So where do we go from here? First, we must establish that no one owns wild things. Then we need to specify the detail of any pest species and how, by whom, and where they can be controlled. Rather than protecting a few, we should protect everything and grant time-limited licenses under special circumstances to allow problematic species to be controlled, always, of course, excluding any locally or internationally endangered species. At present, everything can be killed unless protected. This needs turning on its head so that everything is protected unless legislation adds them to the license list. Next, we need to make owners of all domestic animals, including pets, always responsible for what they do. Owners of wandering pets or stock should compensate and face penalties. Lastly, there should be a duty to protect so that land and building owners make their property useful to the wild world, like tall buildings having swift boxes and roads having hedgehog or toad tunnels. Moreover, a new attitude must be solidified into legislation protecting us and all wild things from the ravages of the selfish and privileged few.